Gemini Pictures presents, in association with Zipper Brothers Films, A Transit Uniform. A man puts on the uniform.
Over the years, I have operated trains in the New York City subway system, Metro North, Long Island Railroad, New Jersey Transit. And yet, I have never, ever been an employee of any of these agencies.
Well, a Manhattan man is getting a free ride to prison.
McCollum, said to have an encyclopedic knowledge of all things transit-related.
He started hijacking modes of city transportation before I was even born.
It was his 19th arrest for impersonating a train operator.
You never knew where I was going to be at. I may be doing a conductor today. I may be doing a bus operator tomorrow. I may be doing token booth the next day.
McCollum claims to have commandeered more than 100 buses for joyrides over the past 30 years.
McCollum has such a lengthy rap sheet of transit-related crimes, he has his own Wikipedia page.
I have been impersonating train operators, trackmen, station department people. They took it on face value. He knows the lingo. He's got the uniforms. He must work here somewhere.
There's a man that really likes trains a lot. Police have just caught a guy for the 23rd time trying to pose as an MTA worker.
A notorious New York City public transit bandit.
Darius McCollum's is a unique and troubled New York story.
A jail cell, mugshots.
I have spent more than half of my adult life in prison. Wanted to be there for the morning rush hour, wanted to be there for the evening rush hour. Any little thing that ever happened, I don't care what it was, I just had to be there. My home became the subway, and I didn't want to give it up.
Words appear. Off the Rails. A film by Adam Irving. In New York City.
Running on empty.
Darius walks along a subway platform.
Running into the sun.
This is just one of my old stomping grounds here in Queens. As you can see, there's a massive amount of buses. Believe me, I used to just help myself. No questions asked, nobody really bothered me. If I wasn't in the bus department over here, I go to the train yard. If I didn't go to the train yard, I go back to the bus department. If you notice, the bus is sitting here unoccupied. So I can just go open the door, start the bus up, and pull on out with the bus. Nobody suspects anything because they probably think I'm just one of the drivers. There's a security booth over here, but guess what? There's no security over here this time of day. So it's like, help yourself. It's like self-service. People get off the bus, leave the doors wide open. Ain't that amazing? There's no keys needed on city buses. There's just a button, push engine start, release the brakes, put it in gear, go.
September 1st, 2010.
The man with a reputation for impersonating a transit worker is in trouble with the law once again. The Queens District Attorney says 45-year-old Darius McCollum was arrested Tuesday morning for allegedly stealing a New York Trailways bus from a maintenance yard in Hoboken. He faces 15 years in prison if convicted.
A corrections bus drives up to the Rikers Island jail. This is Darius's 29th incarceration.
Sorry about that.
He dries his face with a towel.
The reason why my Rikers Island is that I came from New Jersey with a bus. I picked up some passengers. I took them to the airport. And during that course, I was apprehended by NYPD.
A row of jail cells.
I've been living my life in the past, and it's like I'm chasing down a dream that I can't seem to get. Ever since I was 15 years old, I've been running towards the subway system. And the thing is, it's like I'm still living that same life over and over.
Here in New York City, I'm known as a train in the neck. To some people, I'm known as a train nut. People tell me that I'm crazy, but maybe they mean it. He's crazy because he's different.
Unfortunately, yes, I did break the law, but what do we do about the diagnosis that caused me to commit the crime?
Darius has Asperger's syndrome. Asperger's is an autistic disorder characterized by high intelligence, social impairment, and intense interest in one subject. A cartoon of a trail conductor.
I'm really good with trains, but I can't seem to figure out people.
He reads Trains magazine.
And it's hard for me to tell what someone is thinking or feeling. I get confused in social situations. I have trouble making friends.
Lori Sherry.
People in the spectrum, they like routine, and they like rituals, and they like schedules. And trains run on a schedule.
Lori founded the Aspen Autism Group and advocated for Darius.
The transportation system provides a routine schedule every single day, 365 days per year, unless it's a leap year, of course. Darius McCollum has a schedule, too. I know what time I want to get up. I know what time I want to eat. I know what time I want to go out and do things. And I keep it the same way pretty much every single day.
He recites the subway announcements.
Is Coney Island, Royal Avenue. Then go to the B, F, and Q trains.
You have some conductors who'll just say,
the next stop is 34th Street.
That's not an announcement. My announcers are more so enthusiastic. I may be on the D train, I say,
good morning, passengers, this is Dynamite D train.
Sometimes you need to hear that pleasant voice. You need to hear that voice is going to make your day. I'm making people laugh. I'm making people feel like, all right, it's not just a train ride anymore. It's more like an adventure.
Jude Domsky, playwright.
When you hear of crimes like this, hijacking a train, driving it, it's usually for some monetary gain or an act of terrorism. For Darius, it was for the joy of driving the train safely. All of his crimes were victimless. There were no crashes. He would safely make all of the stops, make the announcements.
When I'm actually taking a city bus, I'm not just out for a leisurely driver. I'm actually doing the duties of a bus driver. I'm picking up the passengers. I'm actually collecting the fares. And I'm staying directly on the route to make sure that passengers get the way they have to go.
Michael John Carley, an author.
Sometimes when we have Asperger's syndrome, we are gullible enough to commit to some really questionable ideas. But what nobody can ever question is the commitment level to whatever idea we latch onto. That's going to be more than the next guy.
I'd like to compare myself to Superman. He was migrated here through some kind of meteor. I was migrated here through the transportation thing. I was born in Brooklyn. Superman came from some distant planet. His weakness is kryptonite. My weakness is the third rail. His thing of being a superhero is saving the world and trying to bring about world peace. My thing is getting people from point A to point B in a timely fashion.
Michael Garfinkel, psychoanalyst.
If you ask him about it, he says, I'm volunteering my time. I mean, as if he's a high schooler getting community service hours. It's a benevolent act.
I was just providing a service to the public because how many people in your right mind actually go and take a train or a bus and actually bring it back?
Ray Sanchez, reporter.
We're talking about a subway system where people are killed every day, and yet it was Darius McCollum whose face appeared in every locker room, in every tower in New York City subway system. You know, it wasn't the most prolific mugger or, the most wanted rapist, but Darius McCollum.
There was nothing about him that seemed like hardened inmate criminal who's been going back and forth to prison.
He can be very, very charming.
Affable, friendly.
Extremely gregarious.
Just seemed like like a normal guy.
Pictures of Darius as a boy.
When I was a kid coming up, I definitely had a happy childhood. When I was younger, there were some women who was attracted to me. I had some girlfriends. I was good-natured. I was well-dressed. I was always polite. It was something about me that people just overall liked about me. I never was really close with my father. He was only home on Sundays. His day was sports. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. Drink a beer. That's it. Just by seeing us together, you pretty much know I'm a mama's boy because my mother pampers me and I pamper my mother.
He's the first thing I saw in the morning and the last thing I saw at night.
She wanted me to have the best education. My mother always helped me out with my homework. So my mother did everything she could to provide for me. The only thing I didn't like when I was a kid was taking cod liver oil in the morning for breakfast.
I loved to take that boy anywhere. We rode the trains all the time.
We went to off-Broadway plays. My mother used to take me shopping.
And he can shop. He can really shop.
I was her golden child.
I taught Darius, you do not have to wait for Christmas to get a gift. Easter, your birthdays, every day for you.
My parents, one year, bought me a drum set. I wasn't really good at it. I tried to learn how to play the guitar. I just made noise with it. My calling wasn't to be a musician, even though I kind of wanted to be like Liberace. My overall calling was, listen, the wheels on the bus keep going round and round, that type of thing. So I chose to stick with the train. In the 70s and 80s, the subway was dirty and dangerous. But for me, it was paradise. Looking at these big machines, it was just something I fell in love with.
He loved the train so much. He'd be looking at everything. He didn't want to miss nothing. He'd go from one place to the other, peeping out the doors. He'd grab me by the hand and, come on, Ma, look out there. See the track?
I want to look. Let me see. Let me see. She says, no, 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 just come over here and have a seat.
We had people calling up when he was 7 years old, asking him how to get to different parts of New York by the train. And he could tell them.
When I was on the train, I always had to be on my P's and Q's with my mother. Even though I wanted to run around and push the buttons, she's like, listen, don't touch nothing. She would be like, come here, Darius, come here. And she would take my pants down and just tan my hide right there. Didn't care who was looking. She was more like a correction officer, so to speak.
All aboard!
Maximum Security Unit, Rikers Island. 2011, a year after his last arrest, Darius still awaits trial.
Attention passengers, we are being held here by the train dispatcher. We shall be moving shortly. We are sorry for any inconvenience.
I actually enjoyed going to school. I even asked for extra work. They thought I was a nerd. They used to say, well, gee, you get better scores than I do. I got a job for you. I want you to do my homework. They'd be like, what you got for lunch today? I'm eating your lunch. I didn't want to be bullied. I didn't want to be picked on. I didn't want to have to be beaten up. I used to have to make up escape routes just to get away from them. That was like, I can't wait till school is over so I can go down into the subway because everybody liked me down there. So it was like, hey, Darius, how you doing? Yeah, come on in. Nobody picked on me. The only thing they did was like, listen, I got a job for you. Get the broom, sweep out the office real quick. I was cleaning up the bathrooms. I used to assist conductors in making announcements and opening and closing the doors. All of this stuff made me feel more and more important. The people down there were like my friends. Even though I was a kid, they made me feel like as if I was as equal as they were. One day, when I was 12 years old, it was a winter storm that took place. There was two of us in a classroom. The teacher gave me and another kid a puzzle. The other kid, he wanted to do both puzzles. She said, no, you do your puzzle that I gave you, he'll do the puzzle that I gave him. While she was trying to straighten out some shelves, she left a pair of scissors on her desk drawer.
And suddenly this kid came over to Darius while he was looking like this, had the scissors and stabbed him in his back.
And I yelled real loud. Believe me, I yelled so loud it probably shook the school. And she turned around and she saw him about to stab me again. And she was like, help, help. And they had to hold me down on the ground because I was losing blood. I didn't even know if I was going to die or not.
I saw him when he was on that gurney with all the blood running out of him. And I saw the fear in his face.
When I got to the hospital, I had to get surgery done because I had a punctured lung.
The doctor said that if he hadn't had the care that he had, he said he would have died because that scissors blade was so close to the heart.
Darius points out his scars.
This is the one where I got stabbed at. This scar down here is the one where they had the tube inserted into my back to withdraw whatever liquid was going up into that area. It would actually come down and drain out. It was the changing point of my life. After the stabbing incident, I just didn't trust kids my age. I didn't know who to trust. I didn't know who to be around. I became more and more frightened of going to school. It was like I would pull the fire alarm just to get the heck out of school. When I felt pressured, I would throw the desk at the students and so forth like that. And I just didn't want to go anymore. Because of my acting out or running away, my parents felt that I needed to be committed someplace. The first was Elmhurst Hospital. I stayed there for 9 months. They were trying to find a way to stabilize me. Doctors gave me Thorazine. So I had these drugs that weren't even qualified for me.
Side effects: convulsive seizures, shock-like condition, dizziness or fainting. Not safe for children.
I was only a kid. I was only like about 12, 13 years old. I would be sitting there just drooling at the mouth. My parents said, this place is not helping him. They're just making him more into like a vegetable. Well, I'd still run away down to the subway system because I felt protected down there. That was like my safe haven, my sanctuary. The subway became my new school. I used to ask what certain button was or certain switches were. The employee told me these buttons here control the doors. This button here is for the buzzer. I just learned by listening to the radios. I learned by listening to dispatchers. I learned by listening to the tower operators. I kept myself advancing all the time. I was issued a full uniform at that age of 12 years old. I felt like as if I was actually part of the team.
Here is a kid who was lonely and found acceptance and comfort in the subways. Why? Because all of the workers thought he was the most interesting kid they'd ever met. He could talk about all kinds of things train-related and with expertise in it.
My phone may ring like about 5 o'clock in the morning. They used to be like, listen, Darius, can you come in and help me out over here for the day? I'm like, sure, I have no problem with that. Sometimes people used to try to fight over me. I want him to cover me for the train. Well, I want him to cover me in a token booth. No, I want him. Wherever I can meet the person at the most happiest, that's where I pretty much ended up going. And they used to actually say, well, listen, you want to learn how to operate a train? I'm like, okay.
April 1978.
The guy says, come on, let's take a ride. I'm not expecting to operate the train. I was expecting just to charge the train up for him. He says, all right, now listen, so you just leave her here. Once that light comes on, oh, there it is. Release your brakes, nice and easy. There you go. You can hear the boom. You can feel the train starting to kick in from the behind. He says, just let the train roll. I just felt like, wow, I'm actually moving a train. It's like, cool, this is like really groovy. It was something I've been waiting for all my life to do, and then next thing you know, here I am actually doing it. And he says, pump the brake, and let the train just ease up to the 10-car marker and let the throttle go. I guess you could say it was like me actually losing my virginity, because I'm more adapted to the trains than I am, you know, with the women part. I just felt so doggone good. It was like, gee, I can't wait to go do it again. Back on January 29th, 1981, I was only 15 years old. I was with a friend of mine, Carl Schalak. Carl used to operate the E-Train, and he asked me, would you be interested in driving the train by yourself? All you have to do is just go down to the World Trade Center, come back and pick me up. I says, what the heck, I'll do it. When we got down to the train station of 34th Street and 8th Avenue, he actually set foot off the train. And I opened the window, he says, all right, make sure you pick me up when you come back. He went to go see a girlfriend of his who was actually a railroad clerk. Conductor closes the doors, I just move on out. That was my first time operating a train solo. I'm actually picking up passengers. It's like, wow. Next stop is 23rd Street. The next stop is 14th Street, West 4th Street, Spring Street, Canal Street, Royal Trade Center, Hudson Terminal. I followed the whole entire line as if I'd been doing it for years. When I pulled into Chambers Street, the passenger saw me operating the train and went downstairs and told the tower. The tower called ahead and told the dispatcher, listen, check out the train. I think there's a kid driving the train. My conductor goes to me, hey, where's Carl at? I'm like, well, he's around. I get down to the other end of the train, charge the train up, put the lights on. I'm waiting for the dispatcher to give me the signal so I can proceed. The dispatcher is like, what are you doing? What do you mean, what am I doing? He says, where's the train operator at? I says, I am the train operator. He says, no, seriously, where's the train operator? I'm telling you, I'm the train operator. Matter of fact, I gotta leave. Let me have my signal so I can go. He says, give me 1 minute. I already knew that he knew at that point that I wasn't the actual train operator, but I figured, you know, if I make everything look good, he might just give me the signal so I can go. He comes back outside to me, listen, train's out of service. I'm like, train's out of service. I go to the PA system, I says,
attention passengers and conductor, be advised, this train's out of service. I repeat, this train's out of service.
And transit cops came down there, and then another boss came down there. He says, listen, where's the train operator at? I'm like, I don't know. And then the cops detained me. There were TV cameras outside of my house 3 or 4 days straight.
Update, the latest from News 4 New York.
Transit Authority officials were stunned, to say the least, late today when they heard a 15-year-old Queens boy had actually hijacked a subway train and taken it for a joyride. Stopped at stations along the route, let some passengers get on, some passengers get off, had a fine time.
My mother didn't want me to even mention the word train in the house, and she kept saying the same thing over and over. If you had never started going down there, none of this would have ever happened.
They said the train hadn't driven that good for a long time.
She started complimenting me about it because she kept reading the story in the newspaper. But what you still did was wrong, though. You could have killed somebody. You could have even killed yourself. My mother was like, do not set foot out of the house unless I tell you to. I wasn't trying to defy my mother, but I just felt that as if I had to go back down there. It was like the devil's advocate in my head. The one sign was like, no, don't go. One part saying, go. My mother was trying to do everything she could to hold me back. But I went anyway. I didn't care what my mother was saying. And that's all there is to it.
I got tired of crying and worrying, trying to find out where he is. So I got to the place I didn't worry about him anymore. I just turned him over to God. I said, you take care of him.
At 17 and 18, Darius applied to work for the MTA. He was rejected both times.
The transit system made up excuses not to hire me. They felt that I was an embarrassment to the system. You know, we feel that you would be a liability because look at who what you are. Look at the name that you created for yourself. And at that point, I wasn't directly to give up from hanging out in the subway system. So I kept doing what I did. Sometimes I came in through back gates. Sometimes I would get rides in with people who drove transit vehicles. I would walk right past security and say, listen, I need to get a pair of pants and some shirts. And bingo, I just signed for them and bring them home. I had a total one time of 139 keys. Keys to me were the most important aspect of the job. Some keys were for the towers. Some keys were for the garbage disposal areas. I even had the keys for the wheelchair lift so I can lift the person up and put them into the proper seat and secure them and so forth like that. I used to have lockers in various train stations, so I used to actually just sleep there. Sometimes I slept on the tracks. Sometimes I slept in the train yards. I know they got showers. I made it my own personal hotel, my own personal everything.
Darius continued to work for the MTA over the next 30 years, driving more than 500 trains and buses. His stints between incarcerations lasted just a few months. He stayed in halfway houses and shelters. As a felon, he struggled to find work, subsisting on food stamps. He was often homeless.
Passengers of Dynamite D train making express stops. Next stop on this train will be Fort Hamm. Please step in and step out. Please stand closing doors. The next stop on this train will be 34th Street and 6th Avenue. Excuse me, if you please step in the door, it would be appreciated so the train can move. Thank you.
Psychoanalyst Michael Garfinkel.
When he's in that world of the subway, there is a kind of sense which is like everything is going to be okay there. Like he's kind of ended up in Wonderland. And in that Wonderland state, he can live there for as long as they will have him, until he gets arrested. But while he's there, the rules are you get to stay as long as you want and have as much candy and eat as much pie. And there's something really exciting and wonderful about that. Of course, the problem is that what he's doing is actually breaking the law. What he's doing is putting himself in trouble. And in this state of thinking, like, it's going to be great, combined with, and I can do whatever I want, is a guy who actually ends up at the end of the day spending most of his life in jail.
In an animation, the names of stations on the subway map change to the names of prisons.
Dear Mom, I'm sorry for getting locked up again. When I get home, I hope we can become a family again.
1988.
My dear son, you are our only child, and we miss you very much. Keep smiling.
1989.
Hi, Mom. Unfortunately, I'm locked up for another Christmas. We had roast beef for dinner, but it wasn't the same as your good old home cooking.
1990.
Dear Darius, your father and I are moving to North Carolina for retirement. We want you to join us there when you get out.
1996.
Dear Mom, I'm back in jail. Being without you on your birthday, there is no one to share the cake with.
2002.
My darling son, I love you very much, but you chose this life for yourself. You must pay the piper.
2006.
Mom, when I went to bed last night, I cried for what I've done. I'm asking for your forgiveness.
2008.
You have a good heart, but you won't accept responsibility.
2010.
I promise I will change when I get out. I don't intend for this to happen ever, ever, ever again.
2012.
I don't believe anything you say anymore. You have to climb out of this one yourself.
Darius, all these years, had this man as his lawyer named Stephen Jackson. He was one of these celebrity lawyers who was just trying to make a name for himself. He signed on with Darius because Darius was high profile.
Whenever my name came across the newspapers, it was like, oh, Jackson to the rescue. What did Jackson do to help me? Nothing.
Jackson didn't show up for Darius's court dates, which meant that Darius would spend maybe another 6 months just sitting in jail. Darius had even at one point asked the judge, I really need to change my lawyer. I don't want to keep going back to jail without even having been charged yet. And because the courts label Asperger's as a mental defect, the judge's response was, you are not capable of making the decision to terminate your lawyer.
Due to Jackson's delays, Darius has been waiting 2 years for trial.
Right now, the case is still open in court. I'm just in limbo until further notice.
You're watching New York One News all morning.
An attorney is charged with stealing more than $100,000 from his clients. Stephen Jackson stole more than $150,000 from Capital One Bank in a fraudulent check scheme. Jackson faces several charges, including grand larceny, forgery, and identity theft.
Sally Butler, Darius's new attorney.
I think that the judge chose me to take this case because I sort of am one of those people that don't really handle somebody's... Am I allowed to say bullshit? From the day one, I thought it was an interesting case. Just when you get a case file that is 5 inches thick, you know that there's going to be something interesting. And I felt bad because the case had been hanging around for so many years and nothing had been done. He likes to talk a lot. He writes me a letter every day. And if I haven't received a particular letter, he gets very upset. It's already been a challenge and I've only had the case for 2 months. So when he stole this bus, which I think is wild that he got through Manhattan, and he ends up in Queens, and when the police officers stop him, he says he stole the bus. So he was pretty much cooked.
The DA who prosecuted Darius.
The thing I want to see most of all is Mr. McCollum never arrested again. I would love to see some solution that would afford him the opportunity to never go back into the transit system and commit the crimes that he's committed on so many hundreds of occasions. But certainly, if he's going to continue to put the public at risk, I think prison is an option that has to be considered.
When he stole this bus, there was a lot of media attention. When there's media attention, the district attorney's office digs their heels in deeper. They're so fearful that he will get out and steal a bus, steal a train, and then they'll bring this back up and say, listen, they had a chance to throw him in jail. And instead, they gave him this alternative sentence. And as a result, we've got this massive pileup of subway trains. He must now do more jail time than the last time. And the last time was 2.5 to 5 years in prison. This time, the offer is 3 to 6 years in prison. And they don't want to come down from that offer. If he were to lose the case, he could get up to 7.5 to 15. He will go into a maximum facility, and he will be in with the worst of the worst. The killers, the gang leaders, those that are doing 25 years to life. Then he has the option of pleading an insanity defense, that this is something that he will do based upon his Asperger's. If a jury were to say, we agree, they remand him to psychiatric custody, and he remains there until such time they decide they've cured him, so they could keep him forever. And he would be locked up with the criminally insane, and it's a bad place to be. It's in lockdown, it's cages, it's whatever they want. Every client I've had that is in that sort of a facility, I've never seen them get well. I've never seen them released. They die there. He's an individual that New York State Corrections doesn't know how to handle, doesn't want to handle, and doesn't have the money or the support to figure it out. Failure is in the cards for him.
After waiting 3 years in jail, Darius was sentenced to 5 years with the possibility of parole.
Who knows what set it off, but in just minutes, there's chaos in a housing area at this Rikers Island jail.
That particular evening, I had just got out of the shower, and I left my stuff down by one of the tables. Next thing you know, tables started flying, chairs started flying. I'm like, well, gee, what in the world is going on?
It lasts for nearly an hour. Broom handles swung, chairs tossed, cups of hot water thrown.
I was like, well, which way do I go? I mean, like, I felt like I was a sitting duck because I didn't know who they were going after.
Look at some of these injuries from this fight. A man's face bloodied and beaten. This one's neck slashed all the way across. A slice to this inmate's stomach. And one victim reportedly lost his eye after being gouged with a broomstick handle.
I was sleeping in my cell one day because I was overly exhausted. And I had awoken because my stomach was starting to hurt. And when I had realized it, somebody had took some hot baby oil and threw it on me. So my stomach was in like a third degree burn.
Letters between Darius and his mother.
Dear Mom, I'm trying to survive this jungle without getting hurt. It would make me so happy to see you.
Darius, I beg of you, don't lose yourself. Your life is at stake.
Mom, I'm scared about what may happen to me. On November 2nd, I tied a noose around my neck and tried to hang myself.
Good morning, passengers. Fantastic F train making express stops in Queens. Next stop is from Penn Station.
Right back to me. Please.
The prison chaplain.
I've seen him break down and cry. I've seen him holler and scream. I've seen him in positions that ordinary people have not seen him in.
My dear son, when you get out, we will be waiting for you with open arms. I will be so happy when this nightmare is over.
Howard Irving, therapist.
When I spoke to Darius, there was something that really troubled me. While he was in jail, he never got any therapy. Not 5 minutes of therapy in 23 years. The government has spent $60,000 a year for every year that Darius was in prison. If they just took a fraction of that and set it aside for therapy for him, that would have perhaps broken the cycle.
The American legal system has not found a way to handle criminals like Darius. A criminal who is acting out of a compulsion. He can't help it. Sort of like the addict who might have been clean for X amount of time, and one day that drug or that drink is in front of them, and guess what? They're like not caring about tomorrow. The need for that drink is powerful.
A uniform is ironed.
The uniform presents an image. You have to keep it clean. You have to keep it pressed. You always want to look good. You have the nice little clip-on tie. Then you have the patch. Everything about the uniform has to match from head to toe.
It's something that immediately makes him feel very special. When he's not in the role of the train guy, it's very difficult to express what his purpose is.
When he was young, when he was assaulted, he lost that sense of value as to who he is. Wearing a uniform creates a sense of value for Darius.
I feel like I'm proud. I feel I'm worthy of something. I feel like I'm a part of something.
One of the recollections I have of Darius was that the MTA was on strike. As we were walking out of our office, we see Darius on a picket line, along with other MTA workers.
People wanted better pay. They wanted better benefits. They wanted a just contract. We was even chanting, no contract, no peace, marching over the Brooklyn Bridge. One station we was at was Broadway Nassau. Some of us was trying to slow down the train because they don't want to give us a contract. When the trains came into the stations, we were actually pulling the emergency cord. I got arrested with 9 other people who were actually employees of the MTA. I actually sacrificed and went to jail for a union that I don't even belong to. I was so passionate about fighting for other MTA employees. One day I was out in Coney Island and some guys came up to me and says, you was at the union meeting last night? I'm like, yes, I was. He says, we want to vote you for being a union rep. I'm like, I don't think you guys can do that. Why not? I says, well, I'm not directly a full employee of the MTA and I don't work for transit. You're not? I'm like, no. But you advocate so well. We thought you was actually an employee. I was like, no, I'm sorry. I'm just a train buff. That's all there is to it.
1997.
Darius knows how to talk the talk and walk the walk. He knows the system fantastically.
Even though I was a conductor at one point in time, I was a train operator at one point in time, I kind of like, you know what? I need to improvise. I need to give myself a raise.
He somehow got a hold of a superintendent's badge. And he went to one of the yards and he introduced himself as Superintendent Manning. He takes out a transit van and he goes out to a general order site and inspects it. And he makes people move the flags around saying, oh, this is not set up according to regulation.
I would give them suggestions more so, not really tell them what to do.
He's giving all these grief to the people out there.
And it provided such comfort for the guys. They were like, wow, you're a good boss.
He gets away with it for the first night, goes out the second night, you know, signs out the equipment, goes out and inspects another general order. By the third night, he does it again. And now somebody, people are wondering, what's going on? Superintendent Manning told us to do this. And they finally figured out that Superintendent Manning was Darius McCollum.
Marcia Shiner, Autism Employment Specialist.
The best outcome for Darius would be for him to be hired by the MTA. One, they wouldn't have somebody stealing their buses and their trains anymore. And two, they would have an employee who probably knows more than anybody who works there.
This is somebody who not just would love their job, but would live for their job.
The MTA cannot take a chance with Darius McCollum. He's a loose cannon. You got like 1,000 people packed into a train. If you do something stupid, you can hurt a lot of people. Railroad's like a military system. Trains move on orders. It's the only way to organize such a massively complex system. You cannot just do what you want. And that's what Darius does. He does whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it. We've got a big rule book, and the rules are written in blood. Every rule is down here because someone got hurt. If you legitimize him by giving him a job, who knows what he could do?
February 2000.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
As you know, my name is Michael Daugherty. I'm an assistant DA here in New York County. I'm the prosecutor who's now in charge of this case in which you've been arrested.
This was my 19th arrest. They asked me a series of questions relating to the crime. At what time did you actually enter the train station of 57th Street? I told them I entered the train station maybe about 6-something in the evening. What were you doing when the train came into the train station? I said I was sitting in the tower trying to get warmed up. Now, seeing as I got the keys for the tower, naturally I can just let myself on in. There was a northbound N train coming into the train station. This one guy who was driving the train, his name was Chris. He picked up speed, and bam, all you hear was chow. Now, when you hear chow, that means the train just went into emergency.
This looks like a job for Superman.
Someone tripped the brakes on the train, and he immediately sprung into action.
I proceed out of the tower. I go to the train operator's position. I'm like, what happened? He's like, I don't know. His conductor got a call from command saying, listen, get the passengers off the train. I'm coming up in between the cars, unlocking the storm doors. The main thing is to get the people off the train so they can at least continue in their route without a problem.
The chaplain.
He loved relieving people of their burdens. That was his fantasy. That's his thing.
I was just trying to be the regular Good Samaritan kind of guy. After everybody's off, we now have to find out what actually caused the train to trip. A couple of cops come along. The train operator, he was the one that initiated for the cops to actually come because he recognized me from the warranted poster. His conductor was trying to, like, keep him quiet. Like, listen, let the guy do what he's doing. He's all right. Now, I could have took off and ran down the platform, but I chose to be like, if I cooperate with you, I probably won't have any problems. I told the transit cop, I'm like, listen, you got me. He says, what do you mean you got me? I'm like, I don't work for transit. Are you serious? And he was like, can't believe it. The detectives told me I would have to go down to the DA's office to make a video. And I'm thinking that if I can give you a video that's going to help clear my name, then let's go for it.
I'm struggling a little bit to believe that you didn't flip the switch.
Yeah, I know. That was
the train. And you know that we think you did.
They was under suspicion that I was the one that actually caused the train to go into emergency from the tower.
You do it?
No, I didn't.
You know why I think you did? Because
I know so much about it.
You know so much about it? The box is right there inside.
My control room.
It's a very small room, right?
Yep. But it's just like I told them before. I says, if you invest that boy, you're not going to find my fingerprints on it.
I was trying to do everything I could to get myself cleared.
The keys that I have can key me into the tower, but the key cannot. The keys that I have will not give me access to the switches.
All of this was directly all impossible.
Maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was a mistake. But I want you to be honest with me about it, because otherwise I don't believe you.
No, I'm being as honest as I can be. I didn't touch the board under any circumstances.
Darius was charged with reckless endangerment for tripping the train's emergency brakes from the tower. 1 year later, at sentencing,
Darius's mother was there. She was sitting next to me. She had come up from North Carolina. He looked defeated, and seeing how vulnerable he really was, my heart just went out for him. Of course, he wasn't allowed to speak to anyone, and I'm sure that was very, very hard for his mother, sitting there not being able to go over to him. The Honorable Carol Berkman was the judge.
Having educated myself on the website and so forth, Mr. McCollum has some characteristics which are very much inconsistent with Asperger's.
Without any psychiatric evaluations, she decided that he didn't have Asperger's just based on her review of Asperger's on the internet. You know, she did a Google search.
She decided that Darius really was doing these things willfully and there were no excuses.
Asperger's would not disable him from knowing that he's not supposed to take the trains, which I gather has been his specialty. He can stop doing this.
Basically, they were wasting time in her courtroom.
I sentenced the defendant to 5 years in prison.
care of the closing doors, please.
While he's incarcerated, he assists the government.
They asked me about transit-related matters.
He tells them where their vulnerabilities are, and he assists them to correct those vulnerabilities. They were afraid that he may be vulnerable to terrorists interrogating him while he's incarcerated so that they can learn the things that he knows. So he got put in special housing for that.
I didn't realize the severity of what I was doing.
You don't have a guy help you and then turn around and make life more miserable for him. He's housed by himself. He's in lockdown.
You have to have your feet shackled. You don't have a contact with other inmates.
He gets none of the same things that everybody else gets. This is not right.
I got released from prison a few years later. I pretty much stayed to myself, becoming more of a loner. One night, I was in Brooklyn. I'm walking to the train station, and there's this one lady sitting there on the bench. I says, "Wow, you look cold." She says, "Yeah, what y'all for y'all?" I sat down next to her and I keep her company. I had always been looking for that one girl who's compatible to me. If I could find this lady, my train days are over, my bus days are over.
She was a seamstress from Ecuador, didn't speak a word of English. He didn't speak a word of Spanish. They somehow managed to communicate.
She says, "You work here?" I'm like, "Yes, I work here."
He was impersonating a subway conductor. She was impressed with his uniform.
"You get paid good." I'm like, "Yes, I get paid very, 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 very good." She wrote down her phone number and she wrote down her name.
Nellie had a problem pronouncing Darius. So she translated his name into Darío.
Darío me dijo.
Darío told me that he liked me and asked me to be his girlfriend. Sometimes he would bring me flowers. He would tell me that I was his honey. He always called me honey.
I ended up moving in with her. She even gave me the key to her place and everything.
He cooked and cleaned the house and everything.
It wasn't until some time later when he was arrested that Nellie realized that he was the great imposter of the New York City subway.
Honestly, I thought about leaving him. But when Darío called me from jail, he asked for forgiveness. He got some jailmates who spoke Spanish to speak to me and explain so that I would not leave Darío.
Para que hablen conmigo y me explicaran y que no lo dejaran.
She came to pretty much every visit. I used to call her every day, tell how much I miss her.
Dentro en la cárcel, Darío
in jail, Darío asked me to marry him.
Y ahí fue cuando
and then we got married there.
Adentro. I enjoyed my wife. And after my release, we just figured we can work things out together.
Everything was fine in their relationship until Darío started disappearing. And Nellie began to suspect that he was having an affair.
I asked him where he was going, where he had been.
She said, "Darío, why are you coming home so late? Do you have someone else?" And he says, "No. His other women are the trains."
Honestly, I thought that Darío was going to change, but it wasn't like that.
Pero no fue así.
The hope that she represented was that she could change me, but I don't think she understood what I was going through.
She said, "Who do you love more, me or the trains?" And he looked at her and he says, well, if I have to pick one, I'm going to go with the trains.
It would have been a better life if he loved me and not the trains. For me, it was very hard.
Para mí fue muy duro, muy duro.
She sheds a tear. Darius and Nelly have since separated.
Because I have Asperger's syndrome, I prefer things over people. I made a commitment to the subway system years ago. It was like I was married to the MTA, to death do us part, for better or for worse. You couldn't convince me there was nothing else better in life other than the transit system.
He sacrificed his freedom. And he sacrificed half his life for this. If that's not love, I don't know what is.
December 2013, at Downstate Correctional Facility. Darius has served 3 years for his last arrest. He will be released on parole in a week.
I'm being released on Christmas Eve. I'm afraid of getting out and just going to take another bus or another train. I want to get out and be able to say, oh, nice bus, nice train, and just say, have a nice day. I'm looking forward to moving on, away from all of the old bad habits that have led me to coming back, because I don't want to be a part of the recidivism rate anymore. And I'm just tired of jail and prison, period.
Christmas Eve, release day.
How do you feel?
Good, I'm happy now. I'm only issued directly $40, that's it. That's for me to basically get home or whatever I need.
He goes shopping at Walmart. Buys some clothes and toiletries.
He comes out with no housing. He comes out with no services. He just lands on the street.
Hello.
Who is this?
It's me.
Darius?
It's me, yeah. Hi, Ma.
What? I know you out, but you can't come home.
The parole board won't let him go back to North Carolina while he is on probation.
Tell them your mother is sick and she needs you.
Okay,
your
but how...
And your father, both sick, huh?
Where's Daddy at?
He's still in the hospital.
He has to go back to New York City where all his problems are. And in fact, it's about the worst thing they can do for him.
I miss you, even though I've been talking to you, but I miss you.
I know, but...
You don't know nothing.
I do,
you're
too.
Okay.
All right, I'll
you
talk to you later.
You don't know what all right.
All right, love you, too.
As long as you're going to stay out of jail, that's all I'm going to get.
No problem.
In a car.
No, I have no.
It's only you in my life.
I'm happy. I'm like, I'm just happy. See, New York City. I'm back at home.
I don't think he's ever paid rent or held a job. He has no skills to live in the real world.
That's the 207th Street train yard. There's the one train right there going back uptown.
And he does what he knows how to do.
If you go a little further down, you'll see the other train tracks, which is for Metro North, which comes into High Bridge. I'm actually really excited, more than I'm probably showing, but, you know, I really do appreciate everything that's going on today.
He goes in a building.
What's your name? Tell him Darius. Hey, assalamu alaikum. Well, I tell you.
How you doing, man?
I'm Tahir, good. So, you know I had to come here.
Yeah, I had to go here.
While I was in prison, I ended up coming upon the religion of Islam. I can't say I'm the most perfect Muslim there is, but I do try to keep up with as much as I can.
I worked on Rikers Island for the last 23 years as imam to the inmates who were incarcerated there. I have been with him for the last 13 years as his spiritual leader.
But you know I'm very concerned.
I know.
About you.
Right.
And your habits.
I know.
I'm hoping, I'm praying to Allah that you have someone got a grip on that particular problem.
Right.
That you don't have that urge,
right,
to go out and do a thing that you know is un-Islamic.
Right.
It's not the behavior of a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy to see you home. And
I'm happy to be home too.
You know, you're here, so get your stuff.
I'll go get my stuff.
Your room?
Yep, thank you. I've done so much, and it's cost me so much. I have to move on. Okay, we're good.
Christmas Day. A man plays saxophone in the subway.
I've missed everything about New York. New York is my earth. New York raised me. I've missed being able to be out and just walk about. I've been away from a massive amount of people. People rushing to go home. Get out of the way. People calling up, you dumb idiot. But you really can't get any better than that because where else is known to happen? New York.
He travels around and enjoys the city. People ice skate in Central Park. He plays chess in the park. Has someone take his picture?
Jeez.
He walks past a corrections bus.
I should pee on the bus, just for the hell of it. But I'm not. I used to ride that bus when I used to go to and from court from Rikers Island. That's a bumpy ass ride on that freaking bus.
You have the background?
Yeah.
He takes a picture for some tourists. He goes to meet with his attorney.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
They give each other a big hug.
Oh, it's good to see you, man.
It's good to see you, too.
Look at this. You're not wearing orange.
Yeah, thank God. You know what I mean? Really.
How are you?
Oh, God, I tell you.
Come in here. Come on. Come here. Come let me hear here. How your life is going.
You know, being downstairs in the subway or being around the buses, hearing the engines, you know, I still get I have to fight through all that stuff, and it's kind of hard. Listen, I bought this thing so I can keep myself busy.
A mobile
phone.
I
got to run from the cops, get all the coins and so forth like that. So, yeah, this is not that bad. I need something like this to keep me, you know, my mind active a little bit.
We got all these fun things while you were locked up, so this is pretty new to you, right?
This is all new to me, yes.
Yeah. Are you just getting on the subway to go to point A and point B, or are you getting
point
on the
A
subway?
Point A to point B.
Have you been on any buses?
Of course.
Okay.
I haven't been on the bus. Yeah.
And you weren't in the driver's seat?
No.
Okay, good answer. So I guess the question is, what are you going to do this time differently than all the other times? You know that right now you're on the hustle and bustle of getting your life back together again, but it's all going to come to a point in which you got to address this.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to work on it. But if
No. I'm going to work on it. Doesn't work for me. I want to hear
that.
What
I'm
you
saying
going
is
to
is
do?
That I don't know what kind of counseling I'm going to get that's going to help me move on. Yeah, I just bought the newspaper. And I heard that I was actually in it, so I wanted to verify it for myself. If you notice, this is the whole article down here. It even says trans and wacko sprung from jail. So I just figured I just wanted to see what it says about me. You know what the funniest thing is? I'm going to tell you something funny. My picture came out in the newspaper on the 25th. I'm on the train. I got the paper open. And, like, I said to this one girl, like, you know who this guy is? No. You sure? No. Come on. I'm sitting right here next to you. You got my picture plastered in the newspaper, but nobody knows who the heck I am.
You're yesterday's news.
Yeah.
Can you remain yesterday's news?
I'm going to remain yesterday's
news. That is the question here.
I'm going to remain yesterday's and beyond news. I'm not going, you know.
The next day, he meets a reporter from New York Magazine.
Really great to meet you, Darius.
Yes, thank you.
The D train is your top line?
The D is my line.
Why is that?
D as in Darius.
He's a celebrity when he's in the news. How many New York Times articles? You know, there was, I think, 10 minimally.
He thrives on the attention.
Trying to put a diagnostic impression of Darius together, I think that what really stands out is that there are elements of narcissistic personality disorder. He is grandiose.
This is a baby picture of me. It says, my son, the next president of the United States. So my mother had already foreseen me in the future where Obama is at today. However, it went a different way, and I started getting involved more and more with the transportation system. So I became my own president. Matter of fact, I became my own president of my own club, the Darius Club.
When Darius was first caught in 1981, that arrest was a really positive media frenzy and flurry. And in the 30 years since then, he's continued to steal the trains, I think, in a desire to recapture that.
His cousin Sherry.
You see his picture in the paper, he's laughing. Most criminals, they get arrested, they try to hide their face when they come in and get it. Like Darius, he's up there looking.
He's committing crimes. And if Darius wasn't doing that, he probably wouldn't be getting all this attention.
News clippings from around the world.
You ever see the commercial on TV, right into York Peppermint Patty? You get the sensation?
Right.
I get that. That's my thing.
Right.
So, you know, the York Peppermint Patty that I'm biting into is the Subway for me.
Around all the grandstanding is usually someone who feels like they really need to do that, who must do that. That if you stop being grandiose, then you've got nothing. This is a man who has not been loved in a very long time. This is someone who enjoys the camaraderie of people, even perfect strangers, because of how isolated he is.
I haven't been able to see my parents for the past almost 4 years now. I want to go see my parents in North Carolina, but by me being on parole, I can't leave New York. I just figured I'd call to see how you were doing and everything and check on you. I talk to my mother every single day, and I miss my mother. It's supposed to be up in the 40s all weekend here in New York. Now, if that's the case, I can go to a swimming pool then.
What, a swimming pool at 50 degrees? You crazy?
You never heard of the Polar Bear Club?
Yeah, them cold people, you don't know the cold people.
It was a joke, Ma. My mother was always my greatest influence in life. All right, love you. Have fun.
Yeah, okay. I'll see you.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.
There are many times when I have felt that I was a disappointment to my mother by not staying out of the subways, not coming home and talk about my problem. I never followed through on a lot of things that I should have. But my mother always made it like, you're not a disappointment. Don't think of it like that.
I don't care what he does, I'm gonna still always love him, no matter what he does. I love him because he is my kid, so I love him.
New Year's Eve. festivities of the season in the city. Wanda Forden, housing coordinator.
You still have a future. You're still young.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm 48. I'm not that young, but...
We're still young. I'm older than you. We're still here. We can still breathe. We can still walk. We can still do stuff for ourselves. So do you have any goals that you want to achieve?
Eventually, I'd like to move down to North Carolina. I'm looking forward to going down there because she needs all the help she can get. My mother, she has polymyalgia, fibromyalgia, so if I even touch her like this, everything hurts. You know what I mean? I can't even hug her like I used to.
Is she down south alone?
Right now she is because my father's in the hospital. He has dementia. So the thing is, she's got the whole house to herself, but the faster I can get there, you know, it'll be better for her. My mom is so old. If something happened to her and I wasn't able to get to her, I really wouldn't be able to forgive myself.
I would love to go up there to see him, but I can't make that kind of trip.
She's 87 and she worries about him and she wants him to be able to stand up on his own 2 feet. And he can't right now. He can't.
93%. When I'm not in jail and I'm not in transit, I don't know what to do with myself. I feel as if I don't have no purpose. I collect government benefits, but I would prefer to earn a paycheck. The next stop
is 23rd Street. I just think there should be a way that the MTA can do something to help him.
We are standing out in front of the New York City Transit Museum. It looks like an actual subway station, but if you notice the sign that says NYTM Enter, well, I used to be a volunteer down here. I used to come here pretty much on a daily basis.
There was so much down there to keep you active and to keep you motivated. It was like, this could be my new home. By me being a volunteer, maybe it will show that I'm a good person.
He was working there, and I know that there was tours. He would be fantastic at leading a tour.
The director of the museum, she started getting phone calls like, listen, we don't want the guy in the property. And she came to me that day and said, listen, Darius, I want to keep you. I don't see there's any problem with you being down here. I mean, the thing is, you're doing a wonderful job. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to, you know, ask you to leave. This would have been a stepping stone for me because I felt like as if I was actually on my way to help me grow. My ambition was more so just shattered. I had just lost hope.
It was proposed that the best thing for Darius would be if we just destroy this passion for trains. Stamp it out. Kill it. But if you do that, you may be destroying the capacity for future passion for anything else. And that's a lousy life to subject to somebody to if you succeed.
A week after his release, parole ordered Darius to wear an ankle bracelet to prevent him from riding the subway. Liz Loebman, social worker.
One of Darius's parole stipulations was that he was not to go anywhere on the trains. That included going down the stairs, onto the platform. I remember Darius walking to the train with me, and he couldn't come down the steps. It was almost like an electric fence, like he had to stop. It was really strange to watch him and sort of have to be like, bye, you know, and you figure it out.
A I need an alternate means of transportation compared to riding the subway and riding the bus. So I figured I'd go rent a bike. You know, hey, maybe I can ride to North Carolina on this thing. Ha ha, you never know.
Whee! There it is. That's all I was trying to do. Change the gear. Anyway, this ought to be fun. How do you...
His mobile device falls out of his pocket.
God damn it. Shit. I'm tired of wearing this stupid ankle bracelet. Trains are the only thing I have left. If I can't ride the trains, then I might as well be back in jail.
2 days later, Darius removed his ankle bracelet.
People on the spectrum, they have their own coping mechanisms to calm themselves down. Having that same interest, going back to it, it's soothing.
Some people can take a pill. He gets a 5-minute or 10-minute ride, and he's happy again.
He gives money to a street musician in the subway. The next day, Darius was caught without his ankle bracelet. He was sent back to jail for another year.
He has been stuck in this revolving door for his whole entire life. He gets caught, he lands back in jail, they don't rehabilitate him, he gets out, he does it again. And they have not addressed the problem.
Why would prison be the option on the table? As I sit here now, I don't know of another option that would solve his problem.
Your run-of-the-mill drug counselor at a program is not what he needs. He needs a real high level of care and expertise. I've been doing this a long time, and I don't feel that I'm adequately equipped to handle this.
There's this suggestion that's been made to me plenty of times. Just give it up. Guy's almost 50. He's been doing this since he was 15 years old. And I certainly can't argue from the standpoint of all of the success that I've personally had with him, because I haven't. He's still right where he was when we found him.
I would love Darius's story to be celebrated. He's a Shakespearean character. He has this fatal flaw that causes him to break the law in pursuing his dreams. What he wants to do isn't all that different from what you or I want to do, you know, to make something happen, to do something exciting and adventurous. It's a deep human need that he is responding to. I hope that there's some place for him in the world when he gets out.
One year later. August 2015.
I just got released without any parole restrictions. I don't have no probation. I don't have anybody hanging over my head. I can pretty much go wherever I want to go. But if I got caught again, I'll get a mandatory 15 to life sentence. And since I'm 50 years old now, there's a possibility that I can definitely die in jail.
I don't believe that when God written his history, it was for him to die with the sad history of him taking train or buses, and that's it.
He has managed to remain impervious to the incredibly depressing surroundings that he's been in most of his life.
He flies a kite.
Yeah, man, come on, up, 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 up.
Somebody who's had that much time in the prison system, coming out as somebody who actually looks like they have the capacity to be truly happy.
Come on, there you go.
You know, that little glow of emotional strength that sometimes exists in some of us.
I just want to live a life and be free. This is my absolute last chance. From this day forward, guess what? I'm done.
This is the last final stop. All passengers are asked to leave the train. This train is going to the yard. Thank you for riding with the New York City Transit Authority, and thank you for riding this train.
He goes into Penn Station.
North Carolina. The reservation should already be in there.
I only have two true loves, the trains and my mom. When I was a kid, I used to see my mom every single day. But over the past 30 years, I've only seen my mom 5 or 6 times.
The train pulls into a station.
Darius. You lost some weight.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah.
Hey.
Hey. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Huh?
I'm good.
You didn't shave.
Yeah, I figured I'd shave when I get home.
You should have shaved before.
That's all right.
Yeah. You lost some weight, too.
I lost some weight.
Look, it's not enough. Oh.
I know. I told you I was coming home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, let me tell you, you don't know the half.
In a car. They arrive at his parents' house.
My mom is the only person that can give me the love I need.
What you got in here?
We make a good team. In New York, I have things that I look forward to going to. Being in North Carolina, it is kind of dull.
He washes the dishes.
I go out to the backyard, all I hear is crickets. There's no excessive people walking around. So I have to try to find ways to keep myself busy. I've done a great job of impersonating other people. And it's time for me to just be myself. I had to go through the rituals of getting up every day, dressing up like an actual MTA employee. And guess what? I've never been. Just like you have a reality show. Well, this is my reality. I'm not a transit employee.
He packs up the uniform in a cardboard box.
It's time to stop running down a dream.
And throws it out in the garbage.
I have spent the last 50 years as the train guy. But guess what? I would like to be known as just Darius. Darius K. came out of his shell. He let the trains go.
Three months later.
50-year-old Mr. McCollum was arrested tonight and charged once again with stealing a form of mass transit. He apparently went to the Port Authority and jumped in this running Greyhound bus and took off on his latest joyride. He has spent 18 years of his life in prison for repeatedly, uncontrollably, obsessively hijacking trains and buses. And yeah, police say he did it again.
He was actually applying for jobs. He ran out of money and he didn't want to tell us. And he was going to be homeless on the night that this happened. And that's where he really has difficulties, when he gets scared. And any person facing homelessness with not a dime in their pocket is going to be scared. This is not necessary. We can do something about this as a society rather than lock people up and throw the key away.
Darius is currently in jail awaiting trial. He faces up to 15 years in prison. Credits. Directed by Adam Irving. Produced by Adam Irving and Glenn Zipper. Written by Chavdar Gorgiev and Adam Irving. Cinematography by Adam Irving. Edited by Adam Irving and Chavdar Gorgiev. Music by Duncan Thumb and Steve Gernis. Co-producer Chavdar Gorgiev. Story consultants Jay Irving and Jonathan Irving. Editing consultants Yana Gorskaya and Mark Jonathan Harris. Visual effects Emily Rifkin and Maximilian Williamson. Illustrators Tess Donahoe and Jenny Fine. Archival research Judy Ailey and Roger Goldberg. Music editor Tyler Sabag. Additional music Sean Sumwalt. Music consultant Dara Wedler. Additional cinematography Jack Barabolt, Brian Carpenter, J.T. Chang, Shapur Daneshmand, Roger Goldberg, Bill Jensen, Jay Irving, Maximilian Williamson, Michael Winoker. Production coordinator Lindsay Kuttner. Production assistants Emily Cooper, Carly Gotiner. Location manager Brad Holtzman. Studio teacher Linda Jean Erickson. Security Jeff Zarwislow. Post-production services Different by Design and HD Cinema. Online editor Harry Locke IV. Colorist Brian Hutchings. Sound mix Bill Jackson. Translator Jesus Sylvia. Transcribers Holly Meyer, John Scher. Interviews Imam Charles Bilal, Sally Butler, Michael John Carley, Ray Cusicanqui, Jude Domsky, Sherry Dooley, Wanda Forden, Michael Garfinkel, Howard Irving, Liz Loberman, Darius McCollum, Liz McCollum, Nellie McCollum, Ray Sanchez, Marcia Shiner, and Laurie Sherry. Actors Courtney Brown, Jervis Cameron, Sean Clark, Evan Croft, Shapur Daneshmand, Drew Ebanks, Stephanie Green, Ramo Harapsaro, Hunter Hibbard, Jonathan Irving, Raymond Kingu, Cairo Lester, Devante Lewis, Yun Liu, Suzanne Prattley, Anne Sennett, Gabrielle Salomon, Maki Spencer, Renee Strauss, Charles Trenholm, Brian Webb. Special thanks to Joe Beshenkovsky, Ed Cunningham, Seth Gordon, Mary Rolick, Greg Zimet. Very special thanks to Fala Granofsky and Howard Irving. Copyright 2016, Off the Rails, LLC. Audio description by Lou Lasher.